We're going to be in the book of 2 Corinthians this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. We'll be there shortly if you want to go ahead and mark that, if you brought your Bible with you. If not, scripture will be on the screen behind me. This morning, I'd like to begin a little differently than I normally do. I'd like to begin not with some attempt at humor, but rather a more serious story. I'll tell you about a friend of mine and Cheryl's that we had the opportunity to get to know and to work alongside of in ministry. Was a big part of who we are as Christians, a big part of who we are as ministers. And this individual, this woman, from the outside, it appeared as though everything was exactly the way that it should be, exactly the way that you would want it to be. If you were looking to someone to look up to or looking to someone to emulate in their Christian walk, she seemed from the outside to have all of that together. Living the American dream. Her and her husband weren't rich by any stretch of the imagination, but they lived comfortably. They had two grown children who were having children of their own. They were plugged into a small community. Essential parts of the community had been there for many years and were seen as just kind of mainstays in this community. She was a teacher at the elementary school, and so she served in a lot of ways just in the town and in the community without church involvement at all. But in the church, she was the type of church member that any type of minister loves to have around them, because she was one of the first ones, anytime we had a new idea or any type of service project, she was one of the first ones to say, yes, I'll be a part. I want to do that. She always had a word of encouragement on her lips, was consistently building other people up. As someone who has self-professed liking the praise of others too much, she and I got along really well because she always had something good to say about people that she was around. She taught Sunday schools classes sometimes. She taught children during VBS. She taught Bible studies for ladies. She was the type of a middle-aged woman that believed that she needed to put back into the generation behind her. And so she mentored several younger women, women who were just getting started as adults, women who were just getting started in motherhood, women who were going through various issues that she could relate to. Again, from the outside, everything appeared, well, complete. It seemed like everything was all together, exactly the way that we would want it to be. But as is often the case, what was on the outside was not truly indicative of what was on the inside. Last week, we talked about, in our Life on Mission study, God's design. That God has a design for each one of us in general. A design to live in perfect communion with Him and in communion with one another. To be in perfect relationship with God the Father and in perfect relationship with God's creation, including each other. And we looked at how we often, or we're going to this morning, how many times we step outside of that design. God has a specific design for Christians in that we are meant to bless the world, and that design is also something we step out of. And when we step out of that design, looking instead to our own design, things are sure to crumble around us. Not looking at what God says we ought to do, what God defines as good and evil, right and wrong, but taking that upon ourselves, things go badly when we live by our design and not God's design. So things looked according to God's design on the outside with this woman's life. But on the inside, in a hidden way, just a few people in her life knew about it. She was dealing with the demon of alcohol addiction. And this was not the type of person that from an outside perspective you would think would deal with something like this. We have ways of working in our society where we think that people who have these kind of addictions look a certain way, and she didn't look that way at all. She was, you know, completely productive and normal in her everyday life, but not seeming to have anything else going on underneath all of this hidden angst, this hidden problem. But meanwhile, this hidden problem, this hidden brokenness was beginning to break her relationships with her family, was beginning to strain her marriage. And eventually, after two arrests for DWI, it was putting her job in jeopardy. It was beginning to put her marriage in jeopardy. It was beginning to put the relationship she had with her children and her grandchildren in jeopardy. And although she was one of those who thought that everything was fine, like many addicts are, think I can quit this whenever I want to, I have this under control, when all of it began to break down, she finally realized she didn't have it under control. Cheryl and I had the opportunity to visit her while she was going through a rehab treatment program at a rehab treatment facility. I had the opportunity to talk to her on the phone a couple of times while she was at this facility. And in those conversations, I saw and heard what brokenness looks like. Brokenness, what does that mean? That means what happens to us when we live according to our design and we figure out that the facade that we built falls around us quickly and crumbles around us quickly. Just a couple of weeks ago, we looked at Jesus' parable at the end of the Sermon on the Mount of the wise and foolish builder, and how any house that is built upon sand will fall, and great will be its fall. This is brokenness, the realization that what we built on our own will not stand the storms that come against us. She didn't stay in that brokenness. As a matter of fact, something beautiful has happened since then. She stood in front of our church years ago, and told the entire congregation about her story, told the entire congregation that she believed God could work through her to move in other people's life. Even while she was in rehab, she began to lead those who were suffering from a similar addiction around her. And today she shares this story, not with a sense of shame, not with a sense of embarrassment, but with a sense of this is a part of who she is, and God can use that brokenness to mend the brokenness of others. Something that God can do, something I have seen God do in multiple cases. As a pastor, one of the joys and one of the hardships of my calling is being with people in these moments, seeing all types of different brokenness, seeing brokenness of different kinds of addiction, seeing brokenness of other life choices that people have made that have led them down paths that they never saw themselves going down. Being with couples when they were coming as a last-ditch effort to save a marriage that at least one, if not both of them, thought was hopeless. Sitting in a room when someone hears the words cancer for the first time as they are diagnosed with some sort of terrible disease that the doctor tells them is going to be a long road to hoe in front of them. Being in a room with a family, as a member of their family that they thought was fine just days ago, breathes his last breaths. Perhaps one of the most broken situations I ever saw was not really anybody's fault, but just a part of life, just a part of living in a broken world, where a woman who had been diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer looked at me in her living room, said with a smile on her face, "I'm not afraid about where I'm going. I'm not worried about where I'm going, but I'm terrified for my children. I'm terrified for my husband who depends on me." And in those times of brokenness, it can go one or of two directions. Things get worse. Sometimes addicts don't realize how addicted they are. Sometimes they don't care what kind of impact they have on their family around them. Sometimes when people receive a diagnosis, they don't get better. Sometimes it comes with a sense of hopelessness and despair that pushes them away from faith. But often, even in those times of brokenness, something beautiful happens. God can minister to another person through their pain. God can take a brokenness that came out of a decision that they made and allow them to use it to minister to people who have made poor decisions in their own lives. It's happened in my life as well. We all suffer with brokenness. All of us have been broken or are currently broken in some ways. We're broken. I'm a pastor. One of the things that we tend to be broken over, or any leader really in any capacity, we tend to be broken when it comes to pride. We might sound humble and we might appear to be humble to many of you, but in reality, we are so focused on self and so focused on what you think and so focused on building God's kingdom on our own because it all depends on us, and it's so easy to get lost in that brokenness. Anybody who leads, you've often been there where you think that without you, your organization would fail, and the pride and the brokenness that comes with that pride, we all suffer from some sort of brokenness. It's as if we're a puzzle, if you will, a metaphor that I'm going to refer to a few times this morning. And I'm not talking about one of those simple puzzles that has 10 pieces that Corbin can put together. I'm not even talking about one of those medium range puzzles with 250 to 500, or even one of those really hard that have 1,000 or a couple of thousand pieces. I'm talking about a puzzle. Imagine looking at a puzzle with literally millions of pieces, and a puzzle that doesn't have corners or edges, so you don't even know where to begin. Oftentimes, when we face brokenness, this is what our lives look like. But the good news, as we think about how to present the good news and how to live a life on mission for those around us, the good news is this: there is beauty in brokenness because of what Jesus has done for us. There is beauty in brokenness. And today, instead of wallowing in the sorrow that can come with brokenness, I ask you to look at it a different way and to consider that you might be beautifully broken for the sake of the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul understood this brokenness. The brokenness that just generally comes with living in a broken world. The brokenness that in his case came with ministering to a very broken culture. And the brokenness that just comes with being human. And he talks along these lines, and you can see the undercurrent of brokenness in this passage in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. The situation in Corinth, the people to whom Paul is writing, was a difficult one. The culture around the Corinthian church was incredibly godless. Godless might not be the right word, because some of them worshiped gods, but in a lot of cases, their gods involved things like temple prostitution, things of a horrible worldly nature that drew people further away from God and not into some sort of nirvana or some sort of wonderful religious experience, but continued to break broken people even the more further. That church was surrounded by this culture. It's not the Bible Belt that we lived in, the Bible Belt that you grew up in. It's nothing like that. It's not even the Las Vegas or the New York of our culture today. It was a completely foreign culture when it came to Christianity and Christian ethics, what it meant to follow Jesus. And that culture, that brokenness of the culture, had invaded the church itself in Corinth. If you read Paul's first and second letter to the Corinthians, you will see that there were a lot of issues going on in Corinth, some of a very depraved nature. There were a lot of moral issues. There were a lot of relational issues. There was a lot of problems going on for the Corinthians. It was a broken culture, both at large and within the church. And we also know that Paul himself faced his own sort of brokenness. Paul describes many times throughout his letters the kind of hardships that he went through as a messenger of the gospel of Jesus. Whether it was facing persecution from those around him, maybe verbal persecution in the form of attacks or people speaking against him, physical persecution in people seeking to harm him physically or even to kill him. He landed himself in prison multiple times for trying to spread the gospel. He was sick, shipwrecked, all of these things that he went through for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all of this difficulty seems to be the undercurrent in which he writes this passage, in which he talks about partnering with Christ in his death and his death being at work within us so that the life of Jesus may also be seen through us. And this passage, in this situation in the Corinthian church, we see a massively broken puzzle. We see it strewn out on the table with no idea where to begin. And even the guy who was the most optimistic guy in the world at the time, looking at it, had a sense of dread about it as well. We see the sense of dread that Paul seems to have combined with his eternal optimism and knowing that God can deliver him even from this when he gives these series of contrasting statements in the next couple of verses. He says that we are afflicted but not crushed. We are perplexed but not driven to despair. We are persecuted but not forsaken. We are struck down but not destroyed. These contrasting statements show the hardship that Paul endured, show how deeply he understood the immoral and the godless situation for the Corinthian church, and shown that even though he knew all of that, he knew that the fight wasn't over. To put it in our vernacular, he knew that the fat lady had yet to sing. He knew that there was still part of the battle left to be fought. And he knew that in the end, Christ would restore all things. Christ would make all things right. And so he knew that at the moment we are broken, but again, in the future, we will be whole. Paul is basically saying, yes, things are terrible, but this isn't the end. He goes on to give us the statement about death for life. He says, we are always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. And then he ends it. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Paul did not dodge the hardship. Paul did not look at the world through rose-colored glasses. Paul did not try to act like Pollyanna, that everything was fine and everything was going to just be perfect and hunky-dory and storybook, and that it'll just end if we just leave it alone, everybody will live happily ever after. No, he realized that he was broken, that the church was broken, and that the world as a whole was broken. Yet he knew that God can repair the brokenness. Yet he knew that God had the ability to show the beauty through his son Jesus in broken places, because there is beauty in brokenness. This morning, I want to tell you something that you probably intellectually already know, that you could probably already give assent to this fact, but it's often hard to admit in reality and in practice. And that truth is this: each of you, you are broken in some manner. Now, you might say this is such a pessimistic view of Christianity. On this side of my salvation, I'm no longer broken, yet we know that there is always a constant battle going on in our hearts and minds between the flesh and between the spirit. There are two things coming against us that leave Paul in Romans 7 saying, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of brokenness?" You are broken. All of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. There is no one righteous, no, not one. When someone calls Jesus a good teacher in the Gospels, he responds with, "Who are you calling good? There's nobody good except the Father." All of us experience and know what it's like to be broken. And the sooner you admit that you are broken, the sooner God can begin to put the pieces back together. The sooner God can get to work on taking your brokenness and making it whole. The sooner God can take the seemingly indecipherable puzzle and asking you to put this piece here. Start with this one. This is where this piece goes, and things can become more complete than they were yesterday. God's perfection shows up in the way he lifts us up out of our imperfections. Our imperfections serve as a wonderful stage upon which God can show the world his perfection. And God's strength is nowhere more evident than through your own weaknesses. This is the beauty, one of the beautiful things about the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of us as human beings are broken. All of us experience weakness in our flesh, weakness in who we are. Yet in those moments of weakness, God can communicate to a weak and broken world that he is strong beyond imagination. that God is capable of using anybody, no matter how weak, no matter how broken, no matter how ugly, no matter how destructive, no matter how disgusting, God is capable of using anyone. And in our weakest moments, God shows up in his most, with the most strength in which he can communicate to the world around us. In Psalm 34:18, it says that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. God longs to bring wholeness in our brokenness, but first we must admit it. We must bring the pieces to God and ask him to restore his original design in our lives. This doesn't mean that you're not involved in the process. This doesn't mean that you're totally hands off, but it does mean that you're not in control. That it's not your design by which you are living, but rather the design of a holy God who knows much better. You are broken. Be broken for good. Be broken for good. Not as in forever. Be broken for the good of others. Allow God to do something in your brokenness. Nobody else knows your brokenness like you do. You are an expert in your own flaws. Aren't we all? Don't we all have our flaws memorized? You might think there are some people in the world that don't, but most of us, we know what's wrong. We know what we hate about ourselves. We know those little nervous tics that we have, or the way that this part of our body looks, or the way that this part of our character affects other people, the way that we get angry, the bad habits that we have, the addictions that we can't seem to break. We are experts in our own brokenness. And so when someone else experiences the same kind of brokenness that you have dealt with or that you are dealing with, beauty can show up in that God can allow you to speak into that situation like no one else on earth can. Your brokenness can be used to mend the brokenness of others. Be broken for good. Today, there is a lost soul out there thinking that he or she is all alone in their problems, thinking that no one else on earth understands. And that lost soul needs someone to come beside them with whom she or he can identify and tell them, I understand. I am there. I have been there. This is what God has done in my life. This is the wholeness that God has delivered me to. This is the way that I'm working towards. The Holy Spirit is working towards that wholeness within me and taking the broken pieces and mending them back together. We can get through this together because God, this is the beauty of brokenness. God can use your failures to strengthen others. Do you not understand how amazing this makes the gospel of Jesus Christ? It makes it completely indefeatable. There is nothing you can do to squelch the hope of the gospel. Nothing that this world can do. Because even in the most broken circumstances, God is strong. God reveals his strength even in the most weakest, even in the weakest human situations. Think about it this way for just a moment. Where is in the story of God the power of the living, holy, sovereign God most obvious? In a broken and torn body on a cross. A method of humiliation and execution in a world that was anti everything that is God. Yet it is there, at this weakest point of the God-man Jesus' life, that God shows his strength most clearly. Because in that most weakest moment, God defeats sin and death. God defeats your brokenness. God completes what is incomplete within you through the weakness of the flesh of Jesus Christ, God on earth. I know we're in a church and we talk about this stuff all the time. But this is why I'm excited to live a life on mission. Because I don't care where you turn. I don't care who you talk to. You are not going to find better news than that. God can redeem any area of brokenness and use it for good. Be broken for good. You can serve as a living example what others can experience in God, and the way that he can bring them out of despair, the way that he can bring them out of depression and lostness and deliver them to a new sense of wholeness. Do you understand that in the Greek, the word for salvation, it involves this connotation of being made whole? God takes that which is broken and he makes it whole through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. A quick disclaimer. God did not break you. I need to say that real quickly. If you are in the position of brokenness today, it is because you decide to live by your own design or because the world is a broken place thanks to sin. God does not delight in our brokenness. I never want you to hear me say that you got cancer just because God wanted to use you for something else. Or that God led you down a path to addiction just because God wanted to use you for something else. Don't ever hear me say that. That's part of your own sinfulness or the enemy that is always out against us in this world. But again, the good news is that our sinfulness and even the enemy of the cross of Jesus Christ, the devil himself, cannot limit the power of God to show up in broken places. God did not cause it, but God can redeem it. God did not lead you to your place of brokenness, but he will lead you out of it if you follow him. This is the beauty of the gospel. This is salvation. You take this broken puzzle to God and you say, I'm looking at the picture of what it's supposed to look like. I don't know how in the world to get here, God. All I have is a jumbled up mess. I don't know where to even begin. I can't find a corner or an edge or a side. I don't know what to do. Here, you take it. You fix it. That is where salvation begins. And that is where this story of the gospel begins. We are designed by God to live in communion with him and with others. By our own sinful choices, we take ourselves out of God's design and depend on ourselves, and we end up always, eventually, end up in a place of brokenness. And when we come to that realization that we cannot do it on our own, we invite God in, and he graciously comes and begins to reconstruct his design for us within us. He begins the work of salvation that he will complete someday to make us whole yet again. So the imperative for you this morning. Tell someone else about how God has put you or is putting you back together. It hurts to be broken. Amen? Anybody? It hurts worse to be broken alone. Maybe you've experienced that brokenness and loneliness simultaneously. For the love of God, quite literally, don't allow someone else to do the same. It hurts to be broken, but it hurts worse to be broken alone. You are an expert in your brokenness and perhaps the brokenness of others. God can use you to extend wholeness. God wants to restore his design in you and in others through you. Yes, there is beauty in brokenness, and that beauty is the grace of God. The grace of God manifested through the person and the sacrifice of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Imagine with me for a moment this morning the source of your greatest weakness becoming evidence of your greatest strength. Imagine that for a moment. What are you least proud of, most embarrassed about? Wish you could hide the most deeply about who you are or what you've done. Imagine that thing becoming the thing that God uses to strengthen you and build you up and to lead others to himself through you. This is the beauty of the gospel. There is no darkness too dark that the light of God cannot transform. There is nothing beyond the wholeness, no brokenness beyond the wholeness that Jesus can offer. So give the pieces to God. Give the mess to God. And get prepared for him to do something beautiful with it. It might not look exactly the way that you think it should or that you think it might. It might look something like something completely different than you've ever imagined, but it will be beautiful if you give it to the Lord. God has designed us. We sent our way out of that design, and we find ourselves, all of us, eventually in a place of brokenness. But there is beauty in that brokenness, and that beauty is the grace of God that can transform even the most broken situation into something amazing, powerful, and beautiful, and can give you the opportunity to share your brokenness with others so that you might be mended by God together. You can be broken for good. This morning, during our time of invitation, I will be down here to pray with you about any of this. If there is anything that you would like to pray about, you might think, man, this brokenness is ugly. I don't want to share it. I sure don't think I want to allow anybody to see this from the outside that doesn't really know me. We can pray through that together. God can use it. Now, be wise with the way that you share it, but God can use it. If you want to pray about this or absolutely anything else, if you find yourself here this morning in the midst of a brand new brokenness that you don't know what to do with, I can lead you toward Jesus, and we can pray through that situation together. I'll be here. The altar will be open. I'll hang around after the service if anybody would like to pray then. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray. Bill is going to lead us, and Lynn, in our time of invitation, you move in whatever way God is calling. Father, again, we thank you for a wonderful day. God, we thank you for giving us hope in the midst of hopelessness, for taking these brittle jars of clay and filling them with your marvelous light. God, thank you, not for causing my brokenness, but for using it for your glory. May you do that with this church as we live a life on mission. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.